and said, "Your kid doesn't have a cell phone? That's child abuse."
This is the Jenkins Elite Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Jenkins, and each week we bring you Colorado Prep football talk, hot takes, and unlike other media, we're going to give you our opinion. We're not going to hold back. We're going to be biased, and we're going to pick these games. To join in on the conversation, feel free to tweet me, Joe Hansley, or Justin Holland. Now back to the Jenkins Elite Podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 15 with the Jenkins Elite team. So we're jumping in. We got a big week. Championship week, and we already played two championships. So let's start 5A. I know that's not right on the script, but I've got 5A pulled up on the bracket. So let's jump in 5A. Okay? I'm going to throw you this one, Joe. Valor Christian 31, Grandview 29. Grandview scores to tie it up. You picked this correctly, mm-hmm. Valor. Mm-hmm. Grandview scores a tie it up, goes for two, doesn't get it. Valor win.
Yeah. Honestly, a little closer than I thought it would be. Didn't one of you guys say like that Grandview would have an opportunity to go for two and win or something? Or was that when another game? I feel like that gets said almost every
week. Yeah,
game.
It says I think. I probably said it.
Felt I like it was going to be close.
I mean, it's cool. It's good that it was a close game, though. You know, you don't want to see a blowout in any type of Final Four game.
And it definitely started that way. 21-0 first quarter. Valor jumped out quick.
Yep.
And Grandview didn't panic, put together a drive, but they also had some help. They blocked a punt and recovered it in the end zone.
Nice.
And the wind and the weather definitely had a lot to do with kind of the action of the game.
I think that that's an exciting win for Valor's seniors who last year lost as juniors.
Yeah.
Like, that was probably exciting for them to come back and beat the team that knocked them out.
Right.
So that's a good win for Valor. Good program win.
Yeah, some of the same kids.
Valor goes to the state title. And then Justin, Cherry Creek 10, Columbine 7. Columbine 7. That's the most impressive part, right?
Oh, yeah. So here's the thing. It's like we had three of the best defenses in the state. I don't know who number four would be, but in terms of like points allowed, Cherry Creek, Columbine, and Valor have all been very similar on the year.
Shocker.
They're all giving up somewhere
around that 10-point
area.
I think the fourth best defense is Stutteridge, isn't it?
Or Hans Ranch.
Probably not.
Arguments on both ends.
But like, you know, they were all giving up somewhere around 10 points. But where it was different is Columbine was like 100 points in front of both Valor and Cherry Creek in terms of offensive production, right? And we've seen them play decent defenses, but here was the argument last week is how strong was that Jeffco league?
Yeah.
You know, they do have good players, but how good are their teams?
I don't even think good players. Great players.
Right.
Great players.
Like, yeah, we definitely don't want to get in the same argument, but they're definitely great players all over the state.
Great players.
But the teams.
I think.
Right, Cherry Creek has been pushed.
Yeah.
More
yeah.
than what Columbine's been pushed. They've played in more games like this, like their Eagle Crest game, like their Grandview game. You know, the games where, like their Pomona game early on in the season or their Santa Margarita game early in the season,
yeah.
where they were playing great opponents tough into the fourth quarter,
right.
where a lot of Columbine's players hadn't even seen a fourth quarter.
I would wonder, honestly, because if you told me how the Columbine-Ralston game went, where it was really a blowout and then Ralston scored at the end.
Right.
I would really wonder how much more football Cherry Creek starters have played
Tons.
Than Columbine's this season. And but I wonder if that's something that we could start to pinpoint and say, does that matter?
I think it matters, but I still go back to the point where I think both of these teams are terrific, and if they played 10 times, it might be 5-5.
Yeah.
Right? But I think Cherry Creek getting that tune-up with Ralston.
Mm.
Being able to play that offense, being able to basically get 2 weeks of that defense like really honing in on being
Option.
Disciplined
yeah.
and playing assignment football.
That's interesting. Yeah, it couldn't have
They came out and holding Columbine to 7 points is about as impressive.
Did they limit possessions? How they what happened? Like, what was the
yeah.
I know Cherry Creek ran the ball really well. Ran the ball really well. Columbine put it on the ground at the end.
First turnover for that
turnover
kid in the whole season.
Really?
For that kid
but,
or the team?
Kid.
Well, that's tough.
It was a pitch. It was on a pitch. I saw it. I saw the highlight. But not like, and then here's what I think is most impressive. Cherry Creek forces that fumble with like 5-6 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Columbine doesn't get the ball back again for until there was like 30 seconds left.
Yeah.
So they went on that drive, right? The drive that you always need, the 4 minute and seal it. And then all of a sudden, Columbine's got the ball on their own, in their own territory with 20 seconds.
Yeah.
They can't
Tough
throw
for
it.
That team. Yeah.
yeah. That's the worst case scenario.
Do we know if they came out in like a wing tee with that?
I'm sure they did. Yeah.
At the end of the day,
we had play action. Like that's all they had.
At the end of the day, if you'd have polled everybody, like I know Cherry Creek was kind of all of ours picked to win the state title preseason.
Yeah.
Right. I started changing my mind throughout the season because they were. I've seen the dominance of Columbine and watching Cherry Creek kind of almost play down to their opponents a little bit, but. If you would have pulled us at the beginning of the year, pick your state title game, right? It would have been hard to, you know.
Argue Cherry Creek Valor.
Cherry Creek Valor. I know you've been on Valor most of the year, Joe, and you've also picked Cherry Creek, so that probably would have been your pick.
I will not lie. I was out on Valor this year. I thought if you'd have told me that Valor made it to the semis,
I
was
surprised.
I was
on Columbine earlier watching them play last year.
I'm not so much as
high
on Valor.
I thought it was
going to
be like
Columbine creeping. Low on the other teams in the state.
Sure.
Yes, Valor, they have talent. They get a lot of the good kids. They have great coaching. We suspect that.
What I'm saying is I just don't think we're surprised by either team.
No.
I don't think we're surprised by Columbine. I think the surprise teams of the year were Grandview and Eagle Crest. Eagle Crest being a team that.
Can I make an argument for my most surprised team? Can I make that? Nope.
Okay.
Mullen.
Oh,
in terms of.
That was my most surprising team of the year because I sat there and said, like, this should be. If you had told me preseason that I could have, like, good odds on Creek Mullen as the state title, like I'd have been like, oh yeah, like I think there's a chance.
There was
like, with new coaches.
Golly, did they underachieve?
There's a lot of coaches out there that made this playoff roster. A lot of them that would trade their roster straight up. Now they never say that because they're emotionally attached to their kids. But if they could get.
That's where I think the Jeffco. That's what I think is the letdown for Jeffco.
Yeah.
That's what I think is.
Those kids don't want to compete at that point.
And I don't. And I think that's like. I think it's.
I think it's. I think it's a combination of all. And I think it's culture. You talk about it all the time, Joe. I think it's culture. I think it's, and just like expectation and holding a can. Like I just think there's some bad things.
Hey, those kids. They need the right coach. They need. You know, they need somebody who's going to put some structure around it, hold them accountable, make sure they're doing the right things, and then they'll
wholeheartedly.
I think that this – I guess we'll predict this game later, so I don't need to get into it. But I'm excited to see this matchup.
It's a dumpster fire over there. Like so.
Oh, you're talking about Mullen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like Mullen's right not – it's not a good situation.
For a premier program in the state, for somebody that's had as much tradition, at least over
to get knocked out in round one.
To be this bad is
to be and let's bad be
with
honest.
The talent they're supposed to be getting
to. Let's be honest. Mullen's seeding was reflective of how good they've been. Mm-hmm. Like they were a very mediocre ball club. They got the 12 seed because they're Mullen.
Right.
Right. They've got a lot of history. They played a tough schedule, and they just showed that they needed to be the last team in.
But. We also found out a little bit of a nugget. Mullen played zero seniors against that legacy team.
Oh, yeah.
They benched everybody.
But still, like, that still doesn't make sense. Oh, so now you just set them. Oh, that's a strong message.
I have a really hard time doing that to a bunch of kids that have sacrificed for a program. Say, hey, instead of rewarding you with a playoff game and your last time putting on this uniform, we are going to bench you.
I have a hard time if I'm an AD looking at someone who purposely lost and said, you're a great coach.
Yeah.
Very fair.
Dude, I don't purposely lose anything.
I don't think he purposely lost, but I don't think he gave himself a chance to win.
Yeah, but I play Mac, my 2-year-old boy at home, one-on-one in hoop, and he does not score. If you look at me, if a coach looked me in the eyes and said, I'm going to do this, and it jeopardizes our cost at winning... It's not like there's a draft pick on the line.
Huh?
That was like verbalized?
Like, we're not going to play seniors.
I don't know if it was verbalized. I just know that's what they did.
Oh. Yeah, anyways, but what I'm saying is, like, there's no draft pick on the line. They don't now get a better pick because they finish late. You know, this ain't pro sports where you can make the case.
Are they trying to get the younger kids reps or, like...
I don't know. But why don't you do that to a high school kid that maybe the last time he ever puts on his uniform?
And this is speculation, too. We don't know for certain. Yeah. We didn't watch the tape.
Like, no, this is what I was told.
Yeah.
Secondhand information. But at the same time...
I got a question for you. A fundamental question, and then we'll keep it moving. I'll pose this to you, Joe, and then to Justin. If it was true that they didn't play those guys, they lost the game, gave themselves a better chance to lose than win, is that move worse or Eagle Crest coach leaving?
Who?
Because both, in my mind, are quitting on a team.
I still think the Eagle Crest guy's a loser.
Yeah. I agree. I think the Eagle Crest guy
was
more...
But you can't say the Mullen guy.
I think the Eagle Crest guy felt sorry for himself. Eagle Crest dude felt sorry for himself, and he didn't want to do the work or do what it needed to take to get those holes filled in the field. Like, buddy, for you to say, hey, they won't fill the holes on the field, come on.
Yeah.
Go get some dirt yourself, or I guarantee if you made a big enough deal, they're going to fill the field.
Or if you put one email out to the parents.
The parents have the parents light a fire on them. Oh, whatever.
At the end of the day, the Mullen guy, if he did this...
Was trying to set
the Mullen guy should be a coach at that point.
He's trying to...
Was trying to set
to
a culture,
right? To the best of his ability, he's trying to do something for the future of the program.
Yeah,
whether it's to
message.
Get those young guys more playing time, whether it's to send the message that whatever was happening this year was no longer going to be acceptable.
Right.
If we can disagree with it, then that's fine. Right? Like, and I really do have a hard time thinking that could ever be the right answer.
I disagree with it tremendously in the playoffs. Send it week 10. Send it week 9.
Yeah. Right.
Pick a game and send the message. Send it against Grandview because you're getting rolled anyways. Send the message then.
I've never been a fan of anyone. If I'm coaching, the best players on the field are going to play. I don't care what grade you're in. I don't care what you've been through. The best players on the field are going to play. I don't care if you're Jimmy and you showed up to everything 10 hours early and you came and mowed my lawn and you're just my favorite kid in the world. If you can't play, I'm not going to play you.
Exactly.
Right? I want to win the game.
That's how we want the real world to be. Okay, but
like, there
the
are times
time,
that discipline.
I think there's an argument, yeah.
There are times that discipline your team.
Yeah, I don't
no
think
doubt.
That you
and
can argue
message.
His intention, though.
No, you
like,
can't
his
argue
intention
his intention.
Is that
no,
he's
can't.
Trying to do something. He's trying to change something.
I'm cool with that.
Right, the intention is there. What is the intention of the Eagle Crest guy?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that
was a selfish
like, listen,
move.
I was just posing the question.
Yeah. He's like, I've worked so hard through 2 weeks.
You're a loser.
I just posed in the question, and apparently...
And the good news is I never took the time to learn his name, so I'm just
it's
going
just
to refer
like,
to
yeah,
him as
he,
the
that
loser
guy's waiting
me,
for somebody else, yeah. something else to happen. Like, go figure it out.
Let's jump down to 4A semifinal action. Loveland 42, Montrose nothing. Reaction? None.
Didn't,
to be
we
expected.
We knew this was going to happen, right?
Here's the shocker in my mind. Skyline 32, Ponderosa nothing.
Yeah.
That's sad. We love Coach Cole.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Sad.
I wonder how it was.
It's
like,
one of those days.
It was snowing, I know that, and I think it was probably a bunch of compounding mistakes if I could bet money.
Probably change up their game plan a little bit because of the weather.
But like I said, like I wasn't at this game, but like these types of things can happen, right? Like when I went to the Smoky Hill Regis game and just kind of watched how that game began and then watched it snowball.
Yeah.
Like were those two teams talent-wise and coaching-wise that far
different.
Apart?
No.
But on that day,
they were.
Regis was hands, shoulders, chest, everything above that team because they were ready for that moment. They were ready for prime time because they expect to be there. And that Smoky Hill team was all thinking about, like, or should we be here? Like,
they're probably questioning, do we belong?
I have a question.
But this Ponderosa team, at the end of the day, they were thought to be a rebuilding year.
Did they? Yeah, that's what was going to be my question.
You know what I mean?
Did Ponderosa overachieve this?
I think they had a successful season for what they were.
They had a very successful season, but at the beginning of the year, you can always ask this question, like, and you could probably pose it to Coach Cohen because you live in the neighborhood, like, would you have taken this season at the start of the year?
Yeah.
You know, would you have taken a 10-win season, you know, finishing in the
semifinals? Yeah.
Right? You went one step farther than a team the
that
year
was
before,
loaded
that you had ranked number one for part of the year that was that had tons of expectations right, and then this team that didn't have a lot of expectations
goes and achieves semifinals. That's pretty darn good,
and really sets themselves up crazy like well for the future.
Think about they get
still right there.
They get a ton back. I and then we'll look at the matchup later, but and then Skyline, I think, is overachieved, too. But we'll talk about that later. So that'll be a good game, Loveland-Skyline.
Not really. We saw it 4 weeks ago, and Loveland won by 40. So we all know who my pick is.
I was just trying to build it up for the show. Let's jump down to 3A. Pueblo East 35, Erie 17. I will throw this one to Joe.
Not shocked. No, Roper didn't play, like I said, and they lost. And the other kid's gonna
I got
be
a question. Do you think? Did you think it was going to be bigger though?
What
there
was
a part of me that thought that Pueblo East could really run away. 35-17.
35-17. That's in my eyes. That's a blowout. That's not close.
Yeah, but we've seen like blowouts.
We've seen blowouts, and yeah,
I thought
and
that,
honestly, yeah, I thought it was going to be probably more in that 40-7 range or so. But yeah, if I'm just being honest, I was right.
So we've got Palmer Ridge 42, Palisade 7.
Jay.
Yeah, this was...
Surprise?
Like, we went round table last week on Palmer Ridge. I think it's surprising because we, you know, I know you and I have a lot of respect for Coach Romano because you played against him and I coached against him. But here's the thing is we've watched Palmer Ridge come together the last... You've had him number one the entire year because we know that...
Yes, I have. Yes, I have, and I'm proud of him.
Listen, I've said they were going to state. You have to. We've all known they're going to state.
We've all said it, but...
But your power rankings...
We weren't willing to...
And Erie, the Noah Roper to
implant. We weren't really...
Palmer Ridge could have been 4-6, and they would have been number one of our power rankings.
But, like, let's be honest. We all kind of jumped off Pueblo East.
Yeah, we did.
Their health, but we jumped off.
We jumped off because Medrano was unhealthy, right? So and now, I didn't think that. I want to take a second to give that kid a lot of credit because he rushed himself. Not rushed him, but he came back.
Yeah.
A lot of kids in his situation, broken collarbone, committed to UCLA, don't ever come back.
I broke my collarbone.
No, but I mean, like, I think that's impressive stuff because we've seen a lot of kids make that decision and not. Highlands Ranch.
Well, I like
how many kids at Highlands Ranch?
Football, man.
Highlands Ranch should have been dominant this year, in my opinion. How many of those kids got a little banged up, and then all of a sudden I'm good.
But look at Nick Bosa. Like that's it's a thing now to protect yourself.
Yeah,
that's gonna be crazy.
He could have came back. He could have came back, and honestly, Ohio State wins next week, and Georgia loses. There's a chance that Ohio State's gonna be in the national. Playoffs.
So is he officially is he unenrolled?
I'm sure. Yeah, he unenrolled.
Wouldn't you love to see if all of a sudden Nick Bosa was like, you know what, I'm coming back.
he's ineligible. Like he doesn't even have that opportunity. If he would have just stayed in school
and rehab,
and just maybe separated himself from the program, he could have got private training that his brother could have paid for. That's not accepting a benefit.
Yeah.
He could have stayed eligible.
I think a
just
lot of his deal
that his team turned it around like they have. It's the same thing for this kid. It's something special. He's going to play in the state title game his senior year.
No,
of
I think
high
it's
school.
Awesome.
And
you all know what is disgusting, what's sick to me, is that Bosa had to withdraw, I'm pretty sure, because he wanted to accept benefits to like get the best treatment.
Right.
Well,
like,
but his
let
brother
that
could
kid,
have paid for
no, I know, but I'm just
but
saying.
You can't blame somebody for.
You can't blame someone for being like, hey, big bro, I got this.
Yeah.
Like,
well, he wanted to stop going to school and not train in Ohio.
Yeah.
He wanted to go to the bigger
stop
places.
Stop making him go to school. That's my argument.
No.
You look at Bosa.
He's still taking classes?
No.
No.
Look at Bosa. Any guy could have looked at
both. To be eligible, he would have had to stay in school and go to
college. Any guy could have looked at both Bosas and been like, you know what, you guys don't need college.
Right.
Go to Ohio State and play football
that is
only.
Not true.
Give some of those guys the option to just opt football only.
It's going to be scary when that does start happening and there's
like
other
that,
leagues.
That
hey,
dude,
go
there
play
is
football
stuff,
for a year.
This is what's going to start to happen is where guys are going to go and they're going to play in a college, and they're going to have a great year, or two, or redshirt, and then have a great year, and then stop playing that third year. And just train, sit out, and then go.
I think that'll happen, and I think that if there's another like league where it's like
I
you
think
know,
you're costing
league.
Yourself the opportunity to go in the first round. Like Nick Bosa was already he was projected first.
No, I think it's those kind of guys. I think it's those kind of guys that I think guys that like Jadeveon Clowney-ish. And listen, this is by no means a by and large argument, but I think Jadeveon Clowney-ish guys could start to happen, and that mark my words, because I really believe this to be true. That's gonna happen. You're going to start to lean trend to happen. And that's what's going to end up getting student-athletes paid. Is because as much as like it's the program and the camaraderie that people love about college football,
well,
people also like to have Jadeveon Clowney as their D-end. And once and that's what's going to start to get these guys paid.
The NBA opens up the G League and starts allowing those guys to make six-figure salaries instead of going to college. You're going to see that. Where the NCAA is going to – now, the NCAA is not going to get hurt because people will watch anybody wearing those jerseys just because they call it March Madness.
100%.
But how many college basketball games do you watch during the year before March?
None unless it's Duke.
Probably zero.
I think
– And then, Joe,
only
how many
zero.
Games
I
don't
watch college basketball. Yeah, I don't watch.
Exactly. And we can even throw it to Mav. Mav, big college basketball fan?
I haven't watched any.
What about
probably
Duke?
Probably going to fill out a bracket, though.
I haven't watched Duke. I've watched Zion Williams and RJ.
I've actually – I'm an avid sports fan, right? And I've only watched Duke games.
No, Colin is. He's not lying. He watches all 162
Here's what I think
games.
The bigger issue is whatever the barrier to entry to get into those leagues are, I think everyone's going to be saying, I'm one of those one-and-done guys, and you're going to have more issues of kids going to do that failing.
Oh yeah,
and then not, having an education. Well, college, that's why we put the rule into place.
We were protecting the kids from themselves.
Everyone's gonna say, "Oh, I'm a one and done kid. I'm a one and done kid. Let me go get one."
Yeah, we were protecting the kids from themselves, and people were always getting caught up with the one or two kids that it was.
Then it hurts.
Hurting. And how did you hurt them? They had to play college basketball for 1 year.
I agree.
So basically, you called an internship, and then they started making millions of dollars.
And let's be real: if you're a one and done, those dudes at Duke, they're not going to class. They're like they're eligible this year. They're good. Those guys aren't going to class.
That is a big issue, right? Trying to keep those guys eligible for March Madness. I was reading an article that Kentucky
that's all they do.
They were talking about them like, hey, we need to keep these kids eligible because
in your first year, someone was making an argument progress towards degrees, so you can basically give them all the easiest electives that you possibly can.
Yeah, agreed. But that's what they were saying was because basketball is in this interesting spot because it's a two-semester sport that you have to keep them eligible, whereas football,
you can
like the unknown story of football, right, is that a lot of these three-year first-round guys, like they stopped going to class the last fall because just I'm ineligible, well, I ain't going back to college. So it's kind of a – anyways.
Yeah,
anyways,
ineligible for next year.
Let's jump down. Well, I'm on the wrong.
But that still hurts the teams because you need to graduate a certain number of players. Most football players still find ways to get their degrees because if you fall under a certain number as a program,
then you get hurt scholarships.
Right? You'll see those.
There's enough.
Those director of football operations. Yeah. Those guys are start chasing you down.
There's
like,
enough
hey, make 4-0 sure
walk-ons.
Those things. Like when I left right after our bowl. Our bowl was December 31st, and I stayed in San Diego to train where my agent was.
Yeah.
And my semester was over. I just had to turn in my final paper for my capstone class to my teacher. And she had given me an extension. She was like, just turn it in whenever you have. And I was sitting there training in San Diego, didn't have a computer. And, you know, Tom Ellers is calling me every week, hey, you got to turn this thing in. You got to we got to get you graduated. Yeah. Got to get you graduated. Got to get you graduated. Right. And like, so. Those guys,
it works out.
Some of them are.
Is there like an asterisk or something in that where what? How many like if you get a kid that leaves early? And
there should be.
There's got to be some sort of. What about Alabama? There's no way they're graduating that number.
But still, all those guys are going there for 3 years. A lot of them still do get their degrees.
A lot of them graduate now because of summer.
Not 3 years.
Because of summer.
Because they have summer school. Like there's a lot of things that you can.
We should look into Alabama.
I do think a lot of them.
I bet whoever's saying, hey, do you guys graduate this many? Their compliance guy is probably Nick Saban's best friend.
Here's the other thing that I can tell you that I know is a good thing that I like to see is there is this shift now that's happening. Where I remember years ago, the mindset as a player was kind of like, go, like take 12 classes, like get through, like just survive college.
Not even
now the mindset really is, and I'll tell you what changed it, is the grad school transfer. Go and get your degree as fast as possible because then you are no longer under like the coach's hand.
Right.
In reality, you can then leave at any time, right? Like I'm a grad school guy. Okay, cool. I'm going to bail.
Well,
it's an interesting thing.
It's even worse with the transfer rule with the four games that they just implemented or whatever.
The biggest thing too is like when Joe went to college, they were told to take summer school classes.
Yeah.
Like get those credits. Yeah. Start accruing.
Yeah.
I was in college, the only way you were allowed to take summer school, the only way they would pay for it is if you were in trouble academically.
Yeah, that was a budget issue.
And it was a budget issue, right? Yeah. A lot of teams were still dealing with that budget issue, and now.
Yeah.
They're just saying.
Well,
hey,
they
want to
give the kids the aid.
Guys into
they
want
to get them into summer school to give them the aid so that they can stay in
training.
They tried
the classes doing that
are a little bit
Max
easier.
Said,
yeah.
Nah, it's not. That's good. Work.
Yeah,
they're all in.
They
school.
Had to fight for it.
They're all going to be up here in their own.
They
school.
Had to. They had to fight for it.
Right.
And now that it's there, it's going to always be there. And but
just a normal
is
thing.
Every school like that? No, but the Power Fives are definitely.
Yeah. Oh,
so a team like Alabama is definitely making sure because. Your scholarship players, if they're a full-time student in the summer, that means they get their full scholarship check. Whereas if you're not enrolled in school in the summer, you don't get a scholarship.
You don't get a scholarship check.
What is
and
full-time right now? 12 credits?
In the summer, it's 6.
In the summer, it's so they're not taking more, though. I guarantee they're 6 in the summer. Or probably, they're probably taking one class in the summer.
But there's two terms.
Summer.
So you can take six in the first term, six in the second. An Alabama guy. All of a sudden, you got four classes done.
Whoever their next great recruit walking on campus that's going to go 3 years and be done in the NFL is not going to be like, hey, I'm going to push myself for these 3 years.
I bet Tua graduates before he leaves Alabama. I guarantee he's leaving after 3 years.
I think he's an asterisk. I think he's probably a little different as a human being.
I understand what you're saying.
I think you'd be surprised that like the guys that are coming out of there, most of those guys are getting their degrees.
Hey, I can take 3 credits or 6 over summer.
Yeah.
Hey, lady, I'm going to the league in 2 years. I'm taking 3 credits. Yeah. I'm not going to push my.
I do think, I know that the mindset for quarterbacks specifically has been around the grad school transfer. I know that there's been a mindset shift around, like, let me graduate as fast as possible because now then I get to pick and choose if something goes wrong.
There's only one position on the field for that guy, so that makes him, those guys.
Anyways, La Junta 7, Platte Valley 3 for the two-way state title. So our boy Nushi. Outduels Wehrman.
Surprising.
Bad weather. Right. Bad weather game.
I think there was a lot of games that were influence, let's call it, by the weather.
Yeah, here was a bummer. Lyman 13, Strasburg 7. Weather game. So,
like, it's just, here's the thing, and I don't give these guys any passes for this.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, Colmine had a hard time, but they were playing against a great defense.
Yeah.
To me, if you don't have the ability to be multiple on offense, if you don't have the ability, if you're sitting there and you're saying, hey, I run this spread set and I'm going to throw it all over the yard, and then you can't score when it comes to a bad weather game, no one feels sorry for you.
Yeah, Washington State.
Because football is played in the weather. And Washington State, dude, nobody feels bad for you because Washington could run it up your butt.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that was your problem. Yeah. Not there. And the defensive coordinator from Washington gets to come out and say stupid things.
But that was hilarious.
He
said, like,
just at how
we've basic. Always known that know Mike Leach is bad. We know what they're going to do. I hope he stays there forever.
Like, Washington State played?
Yeah.
Washington blew him out?
Yeah, it was a blizzard. Mike Leach.
They can't throw.
That's all he does.
They couldn't do anything. They couldn't move the ball. But nobody feels bad for him.
Nope, you lost the game.
And that guy, that Washington defensive coordinator, is probably an old school guy where it's like, listen, man, if you can't do this in weather, you lost the game before it started. And I'm sure that guy was praying.
Yeah,
like, hey, man, make sure this storm comes in during game time.
Yeah.
And when it did, he was like, oh.
I am semi-looking forward to, though, if Washington State and Washington play next year in good weather. And Leach throws for 900 yards. Leach saying, I thought we were pretty simple.
Yeah. Well, you know he's going to because he's petty, but it is. But if you can't do that, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't deserve to win.
I agree. I think that you have to have the ability to be multiple. And I think Mike Leach is a little crazy in that I really, watching him on the sideline call that game, because I had a little action on it and I was bummed to see that it was snowing too. But to watch him call plays, like, he literally, I know in his brain, he is thinking to himself, why can't we play? Why can't we complete the deep ball right now?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't care it's
snow. No, he's like, we should still catch it.
Why are we not rolling that six?
I mean, that's a failure in coaching, right? And we saw it at the high school level this week. It's like, listen, if you can't.
Be multiple.
If you can't be one dimensional, if you can't do different things to help yourself in a weather game like that, you know what I mean? Like, think about what Cherry Creek did.
Mm-hmm.
Limiting the possessions, running the ball, taking the ball away from Columbine's offense, right? Like, those sorts of things, like, not having to rely.
That's how you win.
You know, on passing attack and things like that.
There are tons of offenses now, though. You see it all the time where a team will bracket a receiver or something, and now it just goes, all shit goes.
And, can't do anything.
Yeah.
We watched Thunder Ridge do that to Fairview their first game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They probably, you know.
You watch them do it. You watch Thunder Ridge, quite frankly, do it to Highlands Ranch with Rubley's system.
Yeah.
Right? Drop 8 and bank on they'll get bored running the ball.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
And that's what happens.
You know, and that's it's crazy. It's crazy, but that happens. Anyways, let's pick these games.
Let's
start with the big show. 5A. Number 1, Valor Christian. Number 3, Cherry Creek. 2:30 at Mile High Stadium. The big boy place. We've got
has there ever been a better matchup? Like, this is my dream come true, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, because we're watching a matchup of quarterbacks that we could watch literally on ABC in a couple of years when Nebraska plays
Iowa.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, how cool is that? Like, if we're watching the first preview of these guys play a game, and obviously we got a little bit last year, but Luke was split in time with another guy. Like, we're watching a game that we could rewatch in a couple of years. Like, this could be, this could become the first game of a true rivalry between these two guys.
Well, I think there's already a rivalry. Already a rivalry because I'm pretty sure these guys probably played growing up.
They duked it out in Little League, but this is for the state title.
Yeah.
This is for bragging rights coming in. You know these guys are going to see each other again when Iowa plays Nebraska because they're both on the west side of the Big Ten bracket, so they're going to play each other every year, right? They're going to meet at midfield every year, and whoever wins this game is always going to have that bragging right, and it's like to me that's something that's going to be very cool for these two guys moving forward. But it's going to be a game that features these two guys. What do these two guys do?
One of these two
guys is going to be the difference in this game.
Yeah, I like that take.
That was a great intro. So let's pick it.
Really good. I like Cherry Creek here. I know I've been a fan of Valor. I think Cherry Creek, talent-wise, and Valor, they're both pretty comparable.
Yeah.
Two great quarterbacks, different style of play. Luke runs it around a little bit more. Padilla more of a pocket passer, is kind of pick you apart, read the defense. I like Cherry Creek. I think they'll beat them, let's call it 14-10.
Savage. 14.
Actually, no. Let's go 14-13, missed extra points.
Oh, love that. Love the pick.
But yeah, I think it's going to be a good game. Close one. Don't like Valor because of some injuries I heard about.
Mm.
Sounds like they're a little banged up. And the reality is, you can get away with beating a team in the Final Four and the Elite Eight, all those earlier playoff deals with having a banged up team.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen in state. You've got to have your number one guys out there playing, especially in high school, man.
Yeah.
Especially in high school, so.
I, too, agree with Joe that this is going to be a low-scoring game. I have a hard time believing that either one of these offenses is really going to get rolling, especially with some of the issues with surrounding Valor's offense. Like, there's going to be 11 Cherry Creek-trained eyes that are just staring down Luke McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Right? And as athletic as he is, and you know, he can move around, he can create, and he can extend plays, and one of his bigger plays in the Grandview game was a scramble for a touchdown run.
Yep.
But... like I don't see that they have that big time receiving threat that scares you that rolls coverage and does those types of things. So I think that the Cherry Creek's going to have 8-9 guys surrounding the box with maybe two spies, on Luke. So they're definitely going to have a game plan around him. So it's going to be hard for him, and he's going to have to show that he can win a game from a pocket, I believe. I think I think Cherry Creek is going to dare them to throw the ball, because I think that's always been Dave's mentality, is that, I mean, even when he was playing against me, you know, like, he gave up yards and he gave up touchdowns because he's like, I was fortunate enough to have a couple of good running backs in the years that we were beating Dave, or we had a 2,000-yard back my senior year that played with me at CSU, that he went into that game playing man coverage. He was going to stop the run.
Yeah.
And we didn't run the ball, and we threw all over him, and we won. Same thing that happened.
He's gonna take away the best aspect of their game.
I just think that he's not gonna. He's old school enough to say, like, listen, like, if you can beat me throwing the ball,
you can win.
Okay, but I'm not gonna let you just drive this thing down on the field, right?
We're not just gonna bring pressure, let him break the pocket and run.
Yeah. So it's going to be a game where is he completing things down the field?
Yeah.
And you know, he's gonna have every opportunity to prove, you know,
that he can.
That he can. On the other side, right? They have a young secondary. They have three starting sophomores in the secondary for Valor. Cherry Creek has an awesome quarterback. Do they have a guy that can get open? Marcus Miller can. He hasn't been playing offense.
Did he play offense at all in that game?
No.
So why don't they put him in there like they
could drop him?
He played one play of offense and he caught a pass.
Has a cast? How big is this cast?
I think he's definitely cleared to go. He's definitely cleared to play. We could see him in this game.
What are we doing, Dave?
I think he's on defense mostly right now.
He's on defense mostly, but this is the state title game, right? You can't leave any bullets left in the chamber. You got to fire all your shots.
Yeah.
Right? So if he's out on the field and Valor wants to do their, we're going to play man across the board and kind of take away Cherry Creek's running game, I know Alex can drive the ball down the field, and I know Marcus can get open.
I'll so can Marcus those open one-on-one versus anybody.
Can those two guys connect for some big plays, get those two to touchdowns, three touchdowns, or three scoring drives? Because that's what I think it's going to take. You're going to need three scores to win. Whether it's 17 or 21, I think that's what you're going to need to win. So eventually I think that scores – there's too much talent on the field for them to be shut out or anything like that. Yeah. So I'm going to take Cherry Creek, and I'm going to say it's 21-14. You know, make it more like 21-17.
Yeah. Opportunity to win at the end for Valor.
There's a possibility that, like, final drive, they could have some magic, right? Yeah. Dylan McCaffrey won two state titles on the last drives, final drives in his state title runs. Yeah. Is Luke McCaffrey, can he do it?
Come on the same cloth. Same
cloth, man.
I like both your guys' takes. I think you guys gave great insight. I do think, I'm going to pick Cherry Creek. Everybody knew that was coming. I really think that Cherry Creek, I just don't think Valor is better offensively than Columbine. You know what I mean?
No, I don't think that at all.
And I just think that, I just think that Cherry Creek's defense to go and hold Columbine to 7. I think that's so impressive.
So different, though.
Have we looked at what the weather's going to look like this weekend?
I think that Cherry Creek offensively is probably similar to Grandview. So I do think that I think Cherry Creek wins. I think it's, I would probably say 17-16. Mm. And I think that 16 is 3 field goals. How about that?
Nice.
I think Valor, a touchdown, extra point, 3 field goals.
Freaks kicker banged 50 yarder.
He's great.
He is really good.
Nice. No, Grandview's kid hit a 54 yarder, but he had that wind
on. Until they get out there shaking and I
just think that. Woo, mom's in the stands. And it's because you got the NFL uprights that are way higher and they look like they're narrow.
They are narrow.
You know what I mean?
They are a little bit narrower.
So it's kind of like.
Do they play with the pro uprights?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. They play with
uprights. When CUCSU plays there, they use the NFL uprights, so they're not going to change them out for the high school game.
Yeah. It's very slight, though, right? It's really, they're not that not much
huge
close.
Difference. I don't think it's a huge difference, but they I look think much it's narrower
bigger than
the
we're
height.
Saying that it is. I think that it is.
Like,
can you
hey,
look
I
that
just
up
missed
for
this
us?
Out left. That's a make on a high school.
Can like you look up, just like, look up upright distance for high school and NFL? Because I do think it's drastic.
I don't know if it's
to be honest.
What would you consider
drastic? I always
drastic?
Thought
like
that the
six
NFLs.
Feet? 6 feet?
I always thought the NFLs were the
drastic.
Same.
That seems drastic.
I thought it was like 16 and like 20 or 16 and 24. Like, I don't know. I could be just completely wrong.
Yeah, I'm not even going to guess because I would be completely talking out of
it. I feel like I've always heard they were the same, but they look closer.
I know for a fact
right.
that they are different.
That's why.
So the NFL goal crossbar is 10 feet high and the posts are an additional 20 feet high for a total of 30 feet.
Not that. We don't care about that. We care about how wide they are.
Okay, well, this article is not giving me width, just height.
Okay.
And that's what
epic
this, that's what they're saying in Gold Division.
We can move on to the next game, though, because this one should be quick. Loveland Skyline?
Yeah, let's pick Loveland side.
Sorry, real quick.
I will give anybody here $10 if you just
line.
Have the balls to pick
Skyline.
Yeah,
real quick, 6 inches wide. It's saying for
high school, okay, here we go. 18 to 23. NFL and NCAA are 18 feet 6 inches. Right. High school is 23 feet 4 inches.
So here's my thing. Is
so
I honestly,
feet?
I do
five
not.
Feet.
I don't. I think there's a lot of times where like a high school team either plays at college field. There's got to be. And they don't change the
No, outcome. My only thought is like, listen, 5 feet.
Is.
That like, and I get it. Like, what are the odds that it comes into a last second field goal? But if it comes down to a last-second field goal or miss BAT, I want the 5 feet.
Yeah, I'm
so
with
does
you.
Scott Norwood.
You know?
I'm with you.
But, like, I mean, that's...
I bet in Texas they trade him out. I bet they trade
5 feet wider, Jim Kelly's got a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, no, but I do think that that's something that, like, I don't get how...
Right, completely changes the game.
I think it does.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It'd be like in Little League playing on 8 foot hoop and then just, or on, on 8 foot, then going out and play on 10.
Yeah. Oh, hey, we get to play at Pepsi Center, but it's got to be 10.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going.
I'd rather play at Cherry Creek. I want to win the game at Cherry Creek than lose it in Invesco.
Yeah, that's a,
totally.
That's crazy.
Anyway, sorry. That was off topic. But yeah, I knew there was a big difference. And I remember watching one of the games one year and the kicker barely missed it and thinking to myself, like,
school
kid might have just made that on a high school field.
Yeah.
Probably did.
Anyways, we got Loveland Skyline. Let's pick it.
Yeah, let's pick it.
Loveland by 24.
You think 24?
Something like that. I don't know much about Skyline.
11 a.m. at Mile High.
These teams played regular season. The score was 42-14 Loveland. And it was really 42-0, and then they scored 14 this
fourth. Got it.
All right, I'm going to say 30.
Are we picking the score on these ones?
Yeah, we can. Let's pick all the state titles.
Okay. I mean,
30. Let's see. Let's go 34-7.
Nice.
Well, let's see. I don't know if Loveland has even been held to under 40 points this year, so I'm just going to quick check that.
I think they did against Ralston. That's fine.
Ralston,
they did. Yeah, the 5A team. Right, so 42-7. We can't count that yet. So Broomfield, they scored 47. They scored 55 the next week. Ralston, they scored 21. Windsor held in 31, but they won that game 31-0. Then they scored 42. Monarch held them to 28. They won that game 28-3. Then they won 40-0, 55-0, 42-14 to Skyline. Then they followed that up with 45-14 to Rampart, 43-7 to. This team has been dominant. And then they played a Montrose team. They won that game 42-0.
Yeah. What do you got the score as?
So, I don't know why it would be any different from this last game. I want to check my facts to make sure that Skyline did score their points in the fourth quarter, so they scored 6 in the first quarter, they scored 8 in the final quarter, so at one point it was 42-6.
Mm-hmm.
I say that Skyline does score some points in the fourth quarter after Loveland backs it down, after they score 42 in the three quarters,
yeah.
And it'll eventually be, let's call it 42-21, because the Loveland kids will start celebrating in the third quarter.
So I think that Loveland wins. But I think it's 35-20, and I think it's a missed extra point because the uprights aren't as wide.
You're fixating on this field goal thing.
I actually think
one of these three teams going to lose from a field goal, and it's going to be really close, and something's going to come out about off. It was a high school field goal.
Yeah, and they're going to cite our podcast as the reason it got noticed.
I mean, we haven't been playing at Invesco for the last 10 years or 15 years or whatever.
But has there been a missed field goal to determine the game?
Maybe.
I'm sure there has been missed field goals and stuff. I just think that it's, funny. I don't know. I just think it's funny. I just think it's funny because we battle and we put our hearts and souls into this to make it to a state title, and then we're going to play on a field that's not regulation.
True.
I just think it's funny.
You want to know what it is? I'd be really sad if I'm a kicker. Then it's like, wow, you guys, you're not changing anything else for anyone else.
People value the playing at Invesco
for
more than they would value.
Cares, Lovell the ran the ball 51 times in the game against Skyline last time. Averaging 9.1 yards a carry for 466
I think Skyline. I really believe that Skyline, after a Pine Creek win and the run they've been on, plays it tougher. I think they play them tougher, and I think that there's the chance that this is closer.
I mean, did their kids get more physical or bigger?
No, but I think
about kids, man.
Here's why I believe it is because we've all been on teams where you win a game against somebody. And then maybe you don't go in as, Loveland, I'm not saying they're not going to be ready, but Loveland also knows that they beat them handily. And these are 17-year-old kids who are in science class with Beth, and Beth is hot, and they've never kissed a girl.
And Beth is saying,
and they think they've got the state title ready. I'm just saying, we've all been 17 and dumb.
I know, but, Skyline's quarterback had a decent game. Chase was 17-25, completed 68% of his passes, but it was 151 yards. They forced him to throw underneath. He scored a touchdown, no picks. He played efficiently.
It's not what Skyline did do. It's what they didn't do.
It's what they couldn't do.
Loveland.
They couldn't stop Loveland from running the ball. And that's the problem.
Rushing?
When you just get ran over like that,
that's
what is your scheme? What's your game plan?
How do you know that Loveland?
When you're giving up 9.
How do you know that Skyline? How do you know that Skyline's head coach didn't call up Dave Logan and say, "Send me the Columbine tape, and we're going to shut down Loveland. How you shut down Columbine?" And now they've schemed it up for a week, and they come out there, and Loveland scores 7 because that's what Columbine did.
Yeah,
Skyline
I think
didn't have those kids.
I think the likelihood of that.
If he needs Logan's number. I can give it to him.
Oh, that's exciting.
Because me and Dave are the best of friends.
He's going
to
need more than that.
I'd love
two or three. I said, watch out for Skyline. And everyone laughed at me. And now they're in the state.
And you deserve to be laughed at.
They're in the state championship.
Y'all so sad that they won a barn burner.
That was not Skyline.
A barn burner that they won by 1 point.
Barn burner by one, I think I deserve
more. They won by 50 points because they went in there and burned your barn down. God.
Oh, I forget, man. But it was, you're the best. It was fun.
Now if we ever put out like a podcast just highlight reel, that one would have made it.
Yeah, I think it would. If someone you're calling Skyline, say watch out for Skyline. That would have made it too.
Well, that was only written, and then I got laughed at by everybody. Yeah. Now they're in the state championship.
Sorry, Mav. 3A. Number 2, Pueblo East. Number 4, Palmer Ridge. In the rematch
game
of
the, week.
The century.
Yes.
Is this Palmer game? Ridge. So
dude,
earlier this
is,
season.
This is the comeback tour.
Earlier
Valor
in the season.
Cherry Creek is a better game than this.
Oh. I think in terms of stature, but this game has
let
much
me
more
lead
of
us off. Let
the overall
lead us.
Quality of
let
football.
Let me lead us off.
Probably.
Let me lead us off because I will address your Valor Cherry Creek will be a much better game because I believe that Palmer Ridge will win by 42 points. Here's why. Pueblo East beats Palmer Ridge 28-21 in a nail-biter where they turn the ball over 5 times to 0.
Yeah. True.
So now when they don't turn the ball over 5 times, because Ty Evans is ready, because he's breaking down the film, Grobe is ready, Pulford's ready, give me 2 Ric Flairs, everybody's jacked up, they win by 42, Mav, write it down.
What was the score of the Pueblo East 42. Game last week?
28-21.
Oh, Pueblo East last week? Pueblo East won
35-17 against Erie without Noah That's Roper. Right. Well, right. Guess what? Ty Evans is playing.
Yeah, I think
Kane
Erie,
Dudley's playing.
I think Erie wins that game with Roper.
There's a possibility because he was such a good defensive player too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they didn't just lose a great offensive player. They probably lost their best defensive player.
And
so
I got a question. Let's be honest. If I'm Palmer Ridge, and I'm playing Pueblo East week 4 or whatever it is, I know Pueblo East was 3-0 at the time, but are you really thinking to yourself, like, we're in a dogfight? I think a lot of it was Pueblo East snuck up on them. They ain't sneaking up on them now.
There's definitely nobody sneaking up, but I think that there was a little bit of
I think there was a little bit of arrogance from Palmer Ridge, and I think Pueblo East snuck up on them, and I think now all those kids have been nose to the grindstone and have been waiting for this. And
don't you think there was a little
the
bit of competition
of
between, you know, there's two Pac-10 recruits in this
game. Yeah, two big swingings out there.
And
Ty was trying to big swing it down the field despite coverage.
Exactly.
And this time he's going to go, you know what? I'd rather just beat you by 42.
We've watched him mature over this year.
So is he going to throw away from what's he'll
be? I think he's going to commit to the game plan. I think he's going
to
understand that there's good players on that side of the field and they're going to have a plan to move the ball. And if they have to, because here, remember early on in the year, Palmer Ridge, for whatever reason, was kind of refusing to run the ball.
Mm-hmm. And now they're running it.
Over the past 10 weeks, we've watched them get after teams.
I give credit to Coach Grove. Give credit to Coach Grove.
So a lot of
see you, Justin.
We've watched those guys just kind of mature over the year. So I'm definitely taking Palmer Ridge over Pueblo East this time. I think they get redemption. I think they get the comeback win. I don't think they're going to win by 42. I think that Pueblo East is pretty good. At the end of the day, I think that it will be a high-scoring game relatively. So I'm going to put it at Palmer Ridge. They're going to score 41, mm-hmm. right?
Miss extra point because they're playing on college uprights at the Thunder Bowl.
They're playing at Thunder Bowl.
Unbelievable. Nobody
Pueblo
cares.
Pueblo is essentially playing a home game in front of everybody because they're playing in Pueblo, right, is going to score, let's call it 31. They're going to get a field goal.
Oh, you think 41-31?
Yeah.
Like, you're saying this is a ball game.
Yeah, I think it's a ball game for most of the day.
Not me. This is more of a blowout than Loveland Skyline, in my opinion.
So, Tim, for you, how much is Pueblo East scoring? 0?
No.
How much?
I didn't say that.
You said
you're going
to
win
by
42.
Yeah,
so.
56-14. There is not a drive in which Palmer Ridge doesn't score except for one.
Okay.
There's one drive.
When they're kneeling?
No. I think they turn the ball over once.
Mm.
I think they turn the ball over once. I think they throw a 16-yard dig in front of Medrano. He comes up, forces a fumble early. They score. Pueblo East is up 14-7. From then on out, it's 49 straight.
Whew. That's what's gonna happen.
Got it. I'd love to see it because it, you know, want to go to the game. So if that happens, I'm kind of hoping that, you know, they do the, you know, they send Ty out and they kind of pull him off
yeah,
the field.
They send him out, run a play,
Luke,
and then pull him out.
Luke
and
runs in, gives him a big hug. It's kind of the passing of the guard. Be huge.
Here's something I'll say about this Pueblo Ridge matchup. There's two Division I quarterbacks that are going to be on the field. And they both play for Pueblo Ridge.
It's true. What about Andrada?
Not
he's not a quarterback.
He's a good athlete.
No,
Madrada
is not. Andrada is.
This is a different kid?
Yeah.
They sound the exact. Andrada. Oh, I see. Madrano. Yeah.
I think Andrada is a good quarterback.
A cousin or him?
I think he's a good quarterback. What? But I think he's a good athlete and people will recruit him as an athlete.
Yeah.
I also have not had the pleasure of seeing him in person. So.
Got it. Justin will have to report.
I will report.
I think this will be a good one. Scares me to pick Pueblo East because it's hard to beat a team twice.
Especially when you barely beat them with five
picks. Scares me to pick Palmer Ridge because they're a little young.
Yeah.
A lot of those key players on that team are young. With that being said, I think Pueblo East has a little bit more firepower. You can take care of one player kind of like Madrano, right? Don't throw to his side, Ty, if he's picking you off, and double team him as a receiver if you need to. Take that aspect of the game away. Pueblo East is going to struggle. I got Palmer Ridge, 34-27.
35. A tight game.
Tight game. Missed field goal by Palmer Ridge early.
So do you guys think Palmer Ridge turns it over again?
I think.
No, I think Ty's going to have an exceptional game.
I think it'll be a turnover. Don't know if it'll be off a pick, though.
He's
no, but I just mean like,
and he rises up to those challenges, and he rises up to competition.
But don't you think
and
to yourself,
this whole week, ever since week two when they played or whatever, he's been pissed off about this game.
Yeah, I agree. Do you guys know what I'm saying though of why I think it could be a blowout, or am I way off? Am I way out of line?
No, I think Palmer Ridge's defense has been playing great. I just
think when you turn the ball for five times and you
like,
lose by seven,
game,
I would have liked to see the turnovers. Were they thrown right to the kid, or did Madrano make a play?
No. All I'm saying is that, like, I just think factually, if you have five, if you win the turnover battle 5-0, none of us. If I told you you win the turnover battle 5-0 and you win by seven, that's disappointing.
Right. That's kind of like what the heck. I know.
If I win the turnover battle 5-0, I win by 35.
Some other aspects of the game. I mean.
And that's where I think both teams play clean games, but I think if both teams play clean games, it's just like Palisade-Palmer Ridge, where I think Palmer Ridge shows that they just have way too much firepower for everybody.
I just, like, if Palmer Ridge doesn't do something to take care of Madrona, like, if they just...
Here is my...
Like, they do have...
Here's my challenge.
One kid. There's another kid that plays for him, big wide receivers.
Here's my challenge of the day.
And he plays, like, outside linebacker.
Here's my challenge of the day to Palmer Ridge. My challenge of the day. We've got young guys there. They know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
That all want to be Division I kids and work their butts off.
Right.
Prove it. Step up to Madrano and step up to the other kids and show it now. Show you're a Division I player now as a freshman and sophomore. Don't wait. Do it now.
I like it.
That would be my challenge. And if I'm their D coordinator, that's what I'm saying every day. You really want to be a Division I player? Go shut this kid down.
Yeah. Because if you can.
If you can.
Why is anybody recruiting you?
Yeah. And if you can't, you know,
mm-hmm.
I just think it's a challenge. And then I think if you're Pueblo East, obviously, prove you can do it again.
Yeah.
But I think you can.
So. I think it's a great story. This
were
is going to be.
Were they,
I think it was a lot of Ty early on in the year just kind of.
Forcing the ball.
Forcing it and trying to be. Trying to live up a little bit to the hype of the Elite 11, things like that, where. I think we all kind of go through it when you start feeling yourself a little too much. It was a humbling experience.
I'm always feeling
dude,
myself,
and let's be honest. Like, I know Tom.
You
know,
should be feeling yourself.
I know
just,
Pulford.
If you feel yourself too much.
I know always. Pulford, and Pulford would never say this because he's a great human being and a great coach. Palmer Ridge plays some bad teams. Right? So Ty's never really gotten in trouble for throwing a post against cover three.
Right.
Because the safety bit on a little.
Yeah, it's just like. Or the safety didn't bite, and guess what? My guy just ran past him.
The guy just stood there.
You know what I mean? Those are bad habits to build, but it's not like, what are you going to do? Punish the kid for having six touchdowns? No. You threw six touchdowns. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they face an opponent where it was like, oh, wow, there's a cover three safety that played it correctly and we threw a pick.
Yeah,
I mean, I can see Palmer.
This is
I don't think that happens again.
This is definitely going to be the test and the measure of where Ty is in terms of has he made that jump from just being a guy with a lot of talent,
yeah,
and Can he go...
Go manage a game. And
manage a game, yeah. Think a game through, make the right decision for the purpose of winning.
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of quarterbacks play this year that are really, really talented that have no idea how to win games.
They won't check it down.
I think...
The most... We all watched the game last Monday night. Like, everybody knows Patrick Mahomes is going to be a superstar.
Yeah.
But he lost that game. Right? He lost that game. The Rams defense scored 21 points because he holds on to the ball. He fumbles in the pocket, and then he forced those picks at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Like, his talent is immeasurable. His decision-making was poor.
I think towards the
sometimes
end of the game,
he gets rewarded for it because he's so talented, but he's got to make that adjustment, whereas Jared Goff just put on a clinic.
Yeah.
4 touchdowns, no picks, didn't really do anything. He had the one where he held the ball and he got strip sack fumbled, but that was it. The rest of the time, he just made the right decision, and when the ball needed to go down, it got down.
I think I do think this is going to be a great. I think this is going to be a great test.
Like when I look at Palmer Ridge,
I've just seen such. I've seen the team that I expected to see all season, but they just showed up in the playoffs.
Yeah,
where they're lighting everybody up. Dude, they beat Palisade, the number one seed, 42-7.
I think we have a problem with them being one seed, but sure.
Well, we said Palisades a good ball club, right? Their only loss all year was the Montrose.
They are a good team, and I guarantee you that was one of those games where it snowballed too, where all of a sudden Palmer Ridge gets up and Palisades not a team that can play.
I think it was 14-7 at half.
Yeah.
And then Palmer Ridge scored.
They just can't keep up with them. They can't play from behind. You start running their style offense that chooses the clock. You got to start throwing the ball. They have no idea how to do that.
It's exciting stuff. You're going down to 3A.
Yeah.
Why don't, for state, they should do for 3A, 4A, and 5A, they should play a 3A game in the morning, 4A game in the afternoon, and 5A game at night, all at a Mile High.
Yeah.
That's what they should do.
Here's what I'm petitioning to do. CSU. Okay.
Yeah, play up the turf at Fort Collins.
I say we because I'm a CSU Global grad. We've been bad. Okay? Let's get all of our in-state kids and let's play 2 games, 1A, 2A, on Friday. And let's play 3A, 4A, 5A on Saturday. You host them. You're all on you, but get the kids on campus. Get them to see that new on-campus stadium. Help the business and help the Fort Collins community, the economy, by getting all these guys to come up there and stay and go to your bars. Do the right thing, CSU.
Honestly,
because listen,
I wouldn't want
to
do that.
I would sell this same vision to CU, but CU they're too far gone on getting the 9th-string kid from Texas.
True.
CSU, I still hold out hope as a CSU Global Ram, Mav. Let's do this. Let's make this happen.
Look at that, man. We're branching out. My stepmom just sent me a text. She said, oh, my God, just drove by a truck that had the Jenkins Elite sticker on it.
Love it. Oh, and by the way, speaking of stickers, we have some leftover car stickers. If you're an avid listener of the podcast, shoot me a DM, and I'll send you one.
Sorry.
Shipping and handling on me.
Ooh. That's a steal.
That's a steal. Before we close, though, should we wrap up? Did you guys see the tweet I put out about the podcast ranking? About the Twitter poll? Sorry.
Yeah.
Visa gift card on the line. Alex Austin with the lead.
Wow.
So it's actually really down to 2 people. Alex Austin and Tony Lee.
I think I'm close to last.
And then a quick third joint.
Because if Alex Austin picked Creek, so if Creek wins, he gets 16. Tony Lee picked Valor. Valor win, he gets 16. And everybody else, like, had the same pick. Or, like, you had Columbine winning it. So you lose on the 16 points right there. So.
Still got
Justin Holland, third to last.
Yeah. You know, I went bold.
Do we even watch football, bro?
Let's,
bold, man. I treated it like March Madness. And, you know.
You're trying to get upset.
Grandview Columbine final, right? If that would have happened, it would have blown everybody's mind.
Yeah.
That's what I was planning on.
It's close.
And I
it almost happened. I got both those teams to the semis.
I also
I just didn't pick the semis right.
I also like the
idea. I picked
idea.
The semifinal correct. I had Grandview, I had Valor, I had Columbine, I had Creek. I just picked the games. I picked the games the other way. I don't know. I think somebody had Ego Grizz.
I might have Ego Grizz.
Wow.
Columbine played. Ego Grizz played Grandview. So it was either one or the other.
All right. Well, we appreciate you guys listening, and we will be back next week for the last episode to wrap this whole deal up. It's been a fun ride. Start to finish, wire to wire. We appreciate you guys. See you next week. Yeah, we whipping pops on Lexus. And I'm skipping school days. Mic drops. Eyes on summer like Cyclops. Yeah, we falling off the sidewalk. Mama wants a home for nightfall. Bounce.